Big news! Wayfair's Black Friday sale is here. Right now, score up to 80% off everything home. These are our best deals of the year. Shop Wayfair's Black Friday sale now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, the government has made promises to solve the housing crisis. The Lord knows it has. And it has stood by a long-term plan on the basis that it will likely take 15 years before things get better for people. But what if that is too late for you? Emma Murphy is like many adults who is saving to buy their first home and living in her childhood bedroom. At 35, she's in a position to where she feels she's just delaying things in life. And she joins me now. Emma, how are you today?
Hi, Tom. How's things?
Thanks very much for joining us. You were so kind of taken by this, you decided to write a letter to the Irish Times. Were you surprised at how it seems to have hit a nerve with so many people?
Yeah, I was really surprised by the reaction. Yeah, I wasn't expecting many people I knew to see it, but people did see it and were asking me, was it me who wrote it in? But yeah, it was. And yeah, it was just an article David McWilliams wrote last week that really... it's something that I hear repeated a lot by government around, you know, the pensions and that people are putting off having kids and, you know, the risks associated with that. And for me, my lived experience is that I've been putting off having kids for ages now in the hopes that I could buy a home, and I'm still not able to buy a home. And I'm sure, and I know many of my female friends of a similar age and younger than me are the same. They would have started families earlier if they had somewhere safe to have those children.
And your exact situation is you're back in your childhood bedroom, are you?
Yeah, so I am back with my mum. My mum very kindly took me back in, as I'm sure many mummies and daddies around the country have with their adult children. I was renting and I moved home to save, you know, start saving deposits and stuff like that. And obviously I still help with the bills and stuff in the house. But it's cheaper than renting. And I moved home. At the time I moved home, my landlord was more than doubling my rent. It was off books, you know, paying cash, as I'm sure many people around the country are. So I couldn't claim any of the tax incentives for renters. And I just was unable to find other accommodation. So I figured it would be better to move home and save for a deposit. But even at that, it's proving very difficult with me and my partner, who both work for the public service, but can still not borrow very much.
Right. So how long are you back in that room?
Since about 2022. Yeah. Around September 2022, I moved home.
3 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
And your partner doing the same thing at the same time?
My partner, yeah. Well, during COVID, yeah, I think for him, yeah, had moved home. So, yeah, same thing. And our parents, very kindly and gladly, they still had room to take us. So he lives with his parents. I live with my parents. And we're saving away, you know. But, like, realistically, like, both of us do jobs that require us to be on site full time, so there's working from home isn't an option. So we obviously need somewhere within a relatively reasonable commuter belt of Dublin, and it's just proving very difficult. You know, our max mortgage that we could borrow if we borrow four times our salary is 360,000. We luckily and we can borrow a little bit more because we work in the public service and they look at our salary scale. We can borrow up to just under 400,000, about 396,000 between us. And that will be with crippling repayments, but we can do that. And we've scrimped and saved and we should get around 40,000 of a deposit together. But still, show me the family home in Dublin that we can buy for 440,000. I have friends who've been seeking to buy houses in the last couple of years who are also in a similar position, and they have all reported being outbid by more than 100,000 on most of the homes that they've looked at.
Yeah, I've heard those stories, and they all sound very familiar to those of us who remember the crash. It was nothing but stories of people being outbid by 100,000 on houses.
Yeah.
And that seems to be where it is now. And even if you were able to borrow the extra 100,000, you'll be paying it back for the rest of your life. So,
And like, you know, certainly, obviously, we understand we can't afford any new builds, like, say, a 3-bed new build in Swords, which is where they're building a lot of houses at the moment. I was looking at they're going for 585.
Oh, God.
So new builds are out. If we can't get new builds, we can't get Help to Buy. So we can't get our tax refund. The Affordable Home Scheme, as far as I'm aware, is tied to newer self builds. It's not really affordable in that you're just borrowing more.
Sure.
The government is just loaning you another up to 40% stake in a house, which you will have to pay back eventually, and it won't be yours, you know. So really what they're allowing people to do is become overburdened with debt.
Which is a horrible situation to be in. And
you know,
and things can change, and you can have what we had the last time, which is you have negative equity and a huge mortgage.
Of course,
you know, so
100%. You know, and people by now, that is the worry. Like my friends who are looking, and every time they're being outbid, they're going, "Well, I know this is never going to be worth what it's going for," and they know there's going to be a correction at some point. And to some extent, it doesn't really matter if it's your family home, because you're going to be in it for the rest of your life. As long as you're lucky enough to be able to afford repayments, it doesn't really matter if the price fluctuates up and down, because it's not an investment. It's a long, or it's a long term,
yes,
I suppose.
It's your home.
Punt. Yep. Understandably, you know, and it's just, I think it's unreasonable at this point for the government to still be expecting the private sector to kind of fix a problem that they have no incentive realistically to fix, and they shouldn't, you know.
Right. If the private sector was going to wave a wand, and instead of being 15 years, this was 1 or 2 or 3 years, then you might say that'll be okay. But the other side of this problem for you, where you feel stuck, apart from the house, which just seems to get further away the harder you try, is you'd like to start a family. And you're right slap in the point in your life when you feel you should be starting a family.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, as I keep saying to colleagues and stuff at the lunchroom, you know, that you just are become very aware that you're coming to the end of, you know, your time, and time is running out in terms of having kids, or, you know, please God, we'll be able to when we do eventually feel like we can try, you know, if we manage to get a house. But it's just that the 15 years thing, the no targets, there's no concrete targets. I mean, no one would get away with that realistically in any sector, private or public. We all work to targets, and the idea that they've given themselves 15 years with no measurable output.
Yeah. You can't argue there are averages, and you will be able to tell by the averages. But I still think the point is that if you're feeling frustration at the lack of progress in the housing market, then you're probably understanding the housing market, because it's every single year we're talking about this. And the idea that the clock is ticking for people. I mean, you said in the letter you felt like you were stuck, and that's the way it seems. You talked about in the letter about people in Copenhagen and their experience. It's completely different, isn't it?
Yeah. Now, I know, you know, many people will say that it's not analogous because they pay much more tax in Copenhagen. But, you know, my argument to that would be that most of the people my age, if you ask them, they'd willingly pay a much larger percentage of their salary if they could have services. Now, I don't think many people in Ireland would expect services to improve without appropriate funding for them. But in Copenhagen, anyway, there's good maternity benefit. It's, you know, if your employer doesn't cover you, it covers you up to €680 a week. Your maternity can be shared however you like between parents. So not that I'm saying that, you know, women shouldn't take their maternity, but for my example in particular, I earn more than my partner, so I would be the main earner.
Sure.
But I can't split my maternity with him in any way. You know, for me to come back to work and him to have some time with the baby while it's young.
Yeah.
you know, and there's just all these impacts, you know, yeah, that come from that.
It does seem like, I know some people are moving because of this, aren't they? There are people getting out of the country because they're just going, I can't afford to live here. I can't afford to get a house.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Would
and like at this stage of my life, see, it has crossed my mind. I am an only child of a single mom, though, or she's single now. She wasn't single when she had me, but I wouldn't move abroad. Like, okay. I want to be with her in her old age,
yeah,
and I will look after her. We're very close. And for that reason, I chose in the last wave of emigrations when I first graduated out of college in 2012. My decision was not to emigrate because I didn't want to leave her alone.
Yeah.
and you know, that is still something that I am unwilling to do, you know.
I understand that completely. Yeah. I mean, if my children emigrated, I'd be devastated, you know. I think leaving, I take that to be an economic reality for Irish people at this point in our history. Mm. It beggars belief. Can't really see a simple solution to this, can you?
Not really. Like, I, it's a very difficult problem, and I know there's many, many factors to it. And I honestly believe the private sector, aside from not expecting them to want to fix it, I think at the moment when you rely on the private sector, that means that all housing output is being purchased by the government or, you know, charitable bodies. You're bidding against your local council to buy that secondhand house because there is no state-built, you know, housing. And everyone who needs a house is buying from the same few houses that are being produced every year. And it's unsustainable.
Yeah.
And it's also paying over the odds. Like, the developers understandably need to receive some sort of profit for the houses they produce. The state could build houses at cost. Like, it's it just doesn't make sense.
No, just it doesn't seem to be making sense. It's not progressing. It's not changing. And it's so frustrating. I can imagine what it's like for you to be back in. You came out of college in 2012. You expect this country to be, you know, you want to help this country. You're a public servant. You're doing your bit, you know.
Yeah.
Not getting an awful lot of encouragement, really, are you?
Well, I mean, it is a very complex problem. But, you know, I suppose my whole working life now, I've been hearing statistics about more and more children going into homelessness. And that is the reality of having people relying on rental in this country, because there are no long-term leases the way there are on the continent, where someone can say, right, well, I have a 20-year lease, so I'm safe. and that just isn't a factor. And that leads to precariousness in rental accommodation, which means people are constantly chasing home ownership as the holy grail, which will provide a safety net for their family in this country. And if there's not enough houses for people to buy, it's a huge problem.
Right.
And, of course, causing more problems down the road as well, I would say, with regard to the pensions and stuff. You know, like, the population is being pushed down by these policies. You know, when, in fact, we would probably have a growing population if we were
absolutely
facilitated to do so.
We're getting a huge reaction to you in texts, but I don't know how many texts it takes to build more houses. That's really what it seems to come down to. So, Emma, a lot of you know, I think your letter has kind of captured where people stand and how you keep getting these things saying it's coming, kick the can down the road, and it's coming, but, you know, it never bloody gets here, and you need a house to move on with your life, just to move on. Emma, listen, thanks very much for sharing all that with us today, and I just hope there is a solution at some point in the future. Emma, thanks very much.
Cheers, Tom. Bye-bye.
That's Emma Murphy there, and you can read the letter there on the Irish Times website as well if you want to.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.
With fall in full swing, more moments call for more comfort. Mack Weldon's got you covered with comfortable, easy-to-layer clothes designed for cooler days and timeless style. Their new Ace line, inspired by their best-selling sweatpants, combines everyday comfort with long-lasting, confident looks you can count on. For over a decade, Mack Weldon has designed timeless, innovative menswear to help you move through the day with confidence. With the new Ace line, looking effortlessly sophisticated this fall is easy and comfortable. Stock up on crazy cozy sweatpants, shorts, and sweatshirts that elevate your style. They even have blazers, if you're lucky enough to grab one while they're in stock. Mack Weldon balances classic pieces with updated details to keep you looking sharp, not flashy. Just classic, always in style, and made from the world's most comfortable performance materials. Fall into comfort with Mack Weldon's Ace Collection. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MACK25. That's MackWeldon.com, promo code MACK25.